need my water after hurrying around there in the back to get back in time for a brief message this morning. Thank you, Terry and Nancy, for sharing story from God's Word with us this morning. Palm Sunday. As a child, I looked forward to the singing and joy of Palm Sunday, where as kids we got to go up front and wave palm branches. And I can tell you, in the church that I was in, that was as close as we ever got to dancing. But I'll admit, I also found the whole celebration confusing, because here we were at the beginning of the week, Palm Sunday, singing and praising Jesus, celebrating his triumphal entry. And before the week was out, we'd be remembering how they arrested him and called for his death. It was hard to understand such a contrast. And when I revisited the story of Jesus' triumphal entry in the Gospel of Mark, I found parts of it strange and unexpected as well. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Mark chapter 11. Take the opening verses, for example. As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, we have some stats. 6.5 verses dedicated to details of getting a donkey for Jesus to ride on, but only half as many verses describing his actual triumphal entry. And the whole parade doesn't seem to go anywhere. I mean, he gets to Jerusalem, he looks around, but since it's already late, he turns around and goes all the way back to where he came from, the small town Bethany outside of Jerusalem. So I read on. And the next day, and how in verses 12 to 14, Jesus searches for a breakfast snack along the way and sees a very leafy fig tree. This is a fig tree. It's not very leafy yet, but imagine lots of leaves on it. And he expecting to find a snack, and he doesn't find any. And so he curses the fig tree, even when it was not the season for figs. Now, this is not the kind of response that we have come to expect from Jesus, as we've been looking at his life and teachings over the last number of months. But then neither is what happens in the next verses, verses 15 to 17, when Jesus returns to the temple. Now, the second day. Now, the temple was very literally at the heart of the city, and it was the natural focal point for everyone who lived there, all of the pilgrims who visited for the great celebration. And Jesus, maybe he's still nursing his grudge of disappointment with the fig tree, unleashes his anger on the unsuspecting merchants in the temple courts. And the scene of Jesus overturning their tables and benches, forcibly banning anyone who dares to set a foot in there with merchandise under their arm, it just seems very un-Jesus-like. It would be like if our longtime, friendly, and welcoming usher, Bruce Pope, if he lost it and he threatened to banish anyone who so much brought a bag into the church here. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, 6 verses about finding and delivering a donkey. Only 3 verses on the triumphal entry, the parade, that doesn't seem to lead anywhere. No, that's not mine. 3 verses on Jesus taking out a poor fig tree. 3 more about Jesus turned temple bouncer, followed by a scene of the religious leaders plotting his murder. So I thought to myself, I must be missing something. I hope I'm missing something. So I went back and discovered indeed I had missed a lot. First, the whole donkey thing seemed staged because it was. Jesus was following and fulfilling the ancient script that the Old Testament prophet Zechariah had said would happen when their long-awaited king would come to establish God's peaceable kingdom on earth. On a donkey, coming in peace, not on a war horse like all of the Romans did with a military parade. And Jesus knew that the whole parade of Jewish history was about to reach its climax and fulfillment in and through him. And he, of all people, should have been welcomed into the temple by the religious leaders themselves and anointed as the king. But it goes nowhere because they snubbed him. They rejected him because they were not willing to give up control of their temple and religious establishment, the business that they had made out of God. And instead, they plot a smear campaign with attack ads to urge the crowds to turn on Jesus too. And Jesus, he knows this, which is why he also acts out a parable against them with a fig tree. You see, the fig tree was a very well-known symbol for Israel. Just like us Canadians have a few symbols, like the beaver during the Canada-US series there, right? Or the Canada goose. This encounter between a Canada goose and a bald eagle that even made national news because of the symbolism of it all. Well, in the Old Testament, in the prophet Hosea, he said, when God is speaking, when I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert, and then the other image, like seeing early fruit on the fig tree. Wonderful moment. But in that story as well, in the Old Testament, God goes, looks, and he realizes, oh no, it's the greatest disappointment because Israel has betrayed and rejected God, rebelled against him. And God, in turn, has to reject them. And Jesus' cursing of the leafy but barren fig tree, that episode brackets and provides commentary on the temple, just like that fight between the Canada goose and the bald eagle was used to provide commentary on what was happening. You see, a fig tree full of leaves normally should have fruit, but Jesus cursed it because it was a clear case of false, misleading advertising. Yes, of the fig tree, but of the nation. And the implied message in Jesus' dramatic prophetic action, which is what the prophets always did, is that the religious establishment had now become all show, we would say, no substance. The fact that the religious leaders reject God's chosen one when he's following the divine script, fulfilling all of the promises that have been made about him. And instead, in principle, they reject him on Sunday, and in practice, they put him to death on Good Friday by arresting and killing him. These are testifying loud and clear against them. They were that fruitless fig tree, falsely impersonating a fruitful one, a barren religious system impersonating a living faith. You see, Jesus, he rides into our lives today. He sees into our religious gatherings even. He looks around at all of the things that we have filled our busy lives with. And some of these things, many of these things maybe, have displaced him at the center. He's been relegated to the sidelines at best, sometimes totally dismissed. When the reason that he came and he offered his entire life for us was to restore a relationship. That was the heart. It was love that compelled him to do what he did. And Jesus, he came to restore a living faith, a vibrant, life-changing relationship with the God of the universe, the God who made us and loves us and has done everything possible to restore a relationship with us. But to do that, he needs to be welcomed and honored in our lives wholeheartedly as our Savior and as our Lord, as we heard from these wonderful testimonies that we have heard today. And how we respond. Maybe we said, yes, Jesus, you be the center of my life, but he's gotten crowded out, and we need to be reinvited back into the center. Or maybe we've never done that before. The one who created and made us and sacrificed himself for us. It is welcoming him and making how we decide, what we decide to do with Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. I want to invite the worship team to come up. And as they're coming, I want to invite you, give you a moment just of silence to listen to what God might be speaking into your heart today. And then I want to lead you in prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you continue to come into our lives, to invite us, to welcome you, to give you the honor and glory that you deserve. Because you have come, Lord, to take upon yourself the consequences for all of the sin and rejection and rebellion and hostility that we have done. Lord Jesus, upon the cross you said, Father, forgive them. They have no clue what they are doing. And then you offered to forgive us. And you offered to come into our lives to change us from the inside out. Lord Jesus, we thank you that though you came and were rejected, Lord Jesus, you did not curse us like that fig tree. You gave your sacrifice for us, and then you continue to welcome us into a life-changing relationship with you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that that is the kind of leader and Lord that you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship. Thank you to Heather and the worship team for leading us in worship, for those who have shared testimonies. Actually, Danica and Janice and Burnett, if you could just come up for a moment. We'd just like to officially welcome you into membership and to pray for you. Paul in Philippians, he said, I'm confident of this, that Jesus who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So let us pray together for them. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the kind of Lord who does not lose it with us. But you lost yourself, your life for us. And we thank you, Lord, that as we have heard, the testifying, people testifying to a new life. And we pray, Lord, for Danica and Janice and Burnett, that you who began this good work in them, that your finishing work is spectacular. And we pray, Lord, that you would do that for your honor, for your glory, for their good, that their witness also, Lord, and ours might go forth beyond here. And might give hope and help to people's lives for time and eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And if you would like prayer, actually Janice is going to be one of the people on the prayer team this morning. So we're putting her to work right away there. Janice and Shekinah, who shared earlier. And they will be up here at the front, at the right-hand side. And if you would like prayer, maybe you've been going through something in your life and you just need somebody to come alongside you. Please take advantage of that opportunity and do that. And otherwise, we encourage you to stay, but we've got some coffee and tea and some snacks there. And just to celebrate what God has done and is doing together. Now a closing blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen.